Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is Rabbi Yitzhak.
This is William Hall. How are you doing today, brother?
I am doing okay. You know, I often say, Baruch Hashem lousy. That's my new answer to people. Because people get upset if you don't, you know, here in Israel, if people ask you how you are and you don't say Baruch Hashem, they sort of get upset. So I say Baruch Hashem lousy now.
You know, to be fair, you know, one of the phrases that I learned like in elementary school said, how are you is a greeting, not a question.
Yeah, I get you. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I was telling you off air. I don't know. There's something. You know, it's crazy because if you start feeling not well today, it's like right away your head starts spinning. You know, what's going on? You know, do I have this? Do I have that? Now that we're living in this age of COVID, you know, right away everybody starts getting crazy if you start sniffling. Or I saw a video actually at the beginning of COVID, was really funny. It came out of Germany and it was like these people were standing at a bus stop and this woman sneezed and somebody pulled out a gun and shot her. You know, that was sort of at the beginning, but people are really crazy about that. And I go to Kupat Cholim, which is our health fund here. You know, I have to go every week for a shot that I get. And so, you know, you walk in and you see people with masks, without masks. So it's just a crazy time we live in. But anyway, I'm very excited about the show today because it is also connected to the idea of the times that we live in and the excitement of the time we live in, actually not from a physical standpoint, but a spiritual standpoint. Because one of the things that we talk about often on this show is the importance of not only disseminating Torah, but the idea of disseminating Torah to all people, not just to the Jewish people, but disseminating Torah to the non-Jews as well, because there are so many people that are seeking to draw closer to the Creator, drawing closer to Hashem, wanting to know more about Him, like I said, drawing closer to Him. And so we have a very special guest today, and I'm excited about that. So we, as usual, we have to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to introduce our guest. We're going to talk about the new book that was just launched last night here in Israel, and we're going to get her perspective. So stay with us. We're going to be back after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And as I said before we went to the break, that we have a very special guest with us today, and I'm very excited about this. Our guest today is Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler, who is a freelance journalist, a book reviewer, an adult educator, specializing in Jewish and content related to Israel. She's also editor of 10 from the Nations, Torah Awakening Among Non-Jews, and the creator of 100 Days of Thanking Hashem, a Jewish gratitude journal. And I was thinking about when I first met Rivka, and we were talking about it off air, that it was quite some time ago at an event that she did at the OU Center in Jerusalem. And interestingly enough, it was with Rabbi Pinchas Winston, who was there by video. But I thought it was interesting because there was a launch last night, a launch party of of Rivka's new book that she just edited, calling Lighting Up the Nations. So I want to welcome you to the show, Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler. Thank you for being with us.
Very good.
Pleasure to be here with you guys.
So, you know, as I said, we met so many years ago, and I brought up this idea of Rabbi Winston because he happened to speak at the OU Center at that event that you sort of sponsored there, and then you had him as sort of the main speaker at this launch. So I guess first tell us what this book is about, Lighting Up the Nations. What does that mean?
Well, it of course comes from the biblical idea of the Jews being a light to the nations. And really, it's a call to action to the Jewish people that the time has come for us to actualize this biblical mandate that exists all the way back from the days of the prophets. But the times that we're living in now are clamoring for, calling for the Jewish people to really step up and step into this role as a light to the nation. So I made it into what Rabbi Yishai Fleischer said last night when he was moderating the panel, into sort of an active verb with this title. I thought it was kind of clever, lighting up the nations. Like, that's our responsibility, the Jewish people's responsibility now in this time that we are in, so close to the end of days and the process of the end of days unfolding, that we have this responsibility to help light up, which means, of course, to bring Torah to those spiritual seekers among the nations who are interested in hearing what we have to say.
So it's interesting that you use the word responsibility, and I can tell you that growing up in a Black Hat Orthodox shul in Brooklyn, New York, myself, of course, everybody knows that I went off to Derech for many years, but sort of growing it up then, you sort of in this cocoon, and so you're basically, it's drilled into your head that our responsibility is to our own nation, to bring our Jewish people to Torah and so forth. So it's kind of weird to hear that. Of course, now I don't think like that anymore, but so when you say responsibility, what drew you to this? I mean, how do we go from, you know, being taught in Judaism that our responsibility is to only teach our own people to now feeling like we have a responsibility to the nations?
We have always had a responsibility to the nations, but because of the way Jewish history played out, particularly since the advent of Christianity, we have lived in a time when it wasn't safe and it wasn't smart for us to actualize this biblical mandate. But this book highlights the idea that it's always been part of our charge, that God gave us this charge to light up the nations, to share the wisdom of Torah, the parts of Torah that are relevant for the rest of the world. And most of, certainly in our lifetimes, but most of the last 2,000 years have been, we have had that responsibility constricted by the circumstances that are, that were imposed upon us by the sort of bloody anti-Semitic history of early Christianity and even in more recent times. But that's beginning to change. So it isn't so much a question of this being something new as something that was dormant, I guess, and that is now becoming relevant. Why? Because we have people coming from outside of the Jewish world who are turning to us and saying, please teach us. And this book explores the Jewish responsibility towards people like that. One of the points that I make is that in the time that we're living in with the internet, with so much Torah education that's available in English, that's freely available on the internet, the idea that we can run from this responsibility or shirk this responsibility or ignore this responsibility, it's just no longer a viable answer because people from the nations are listening to Torah messages. If they're looking for it, it's out there. And what they need, what they desperately need, is relationships with actual Jews, people they can ask their questions to, people they can talk over their dilemmas with, people that can point them to which Torah sources online even, or which books are kosher and are authentic and which are not so much so. And so the circumstances that are happening around us are requiring us to step into this role, as I said, that isn't a new role, but something that has been dormant, that's becoming reactivated in the times that we're living in.
I think, to be clear, this is not, we're not talking about proselytization like Christians do. We're not talking about door knocking. We're talking about literally being a light, like not shading your light so others can't see it, but just being open with it. If people want the information, we're, you know, to be available and give it to them, not to turn them away, even two or three times, like they would say in some rabbinical sets. So I think that's a huge factor for me as well. Even now, people ask me why, like with my channel, why do I proselytize? I don't proselytize. I don't even advertise my shows. It's there. If people want to log into it and watch it, they can. And that's kind of how, you know, this is kind of how I advise people too, you know. So what you're talking about, I think, is very important too, because, you know, I've spoken to several rabbis in the past couple of years on the same topic. And sometimes I'd ask them specific questions. Hey, what do we do about the Noahide situation? And how long has this really been a thing, you know? And of course, it's only been a thing, really a major thing, since social media hit. You know, once the internet became more dominant after 93 or whatever year it really took off, is really when all the information started floating around. But before then, I mean, even especially way back in the day, there wasn't this massive Noahide influx, you know. And even then, that, you know, the rabbis didn't really know how to deal with it, because it doesn't really tell, you know, outside of in the oral law, and the details there aren't even specific. So I think also, you know, dealing with one-on-one rabbi per student, you know, there was one case where somebody called into the show and asked Rabbi Singer, hey, you know, I go to the such and such synagogue, and, you know, but I got a question I'm dealing with. What should I do here? And Rabbi told him, he says, you need to go to your rabbi and follow his instruction, you know, which is a great answer. I mean, because there's slight variances all throughout. So, but again, not proselytization, but just being that light available so that people can see it when they need it, when they want it.
Right. So I think that's a really important point, that it for Christians who may have a mindset of that the goal is to proselytize, the goal is to convert, the goal is to bring the Jewish people to a belief in Jesus. It's a completely different paradigm. What I would say is happening now is that the Jews who are involved in this work are responding to something that already exists, rather than kind of stirring it up. I'm not advertising. I'm not looking. I'm trying to be a warm and welcoming and authentic Jewish response to people who are out there, who are looking for that.
Wow. Yeah, I think the most important point that I get from this is, use the word paradigm. And so what I've said over the years, and of course, anybody that's listened to me, you know, I'm asking these questions of you, but people know me from the radio, from having a show called A Light to the Nations, and certainly when I did Beyond the Matrix before that. One of the things that I've talked about is, you say a different paradigm, I call it a paradigm shift. Because one of the things that I found is that when I was on staff with Jews for Judaism, suddenly what ended up happening was people like Rabbi Michael Skoback and Rabbi Tovia Singer and myself and other people that were involved specifically in the counter-missionary movement, you know, countering missionaries that were trying to proselytize Jewish people, suddenly our inboxes were inundated with people that were asking us questions, and people that were coming to us and saying, you know, I am a Christian, or I used to be a Christian, and but I started learning Torah, and I'm seeing things and I don't understand it. I'm reading about the holidays, for instance, the Chagim, and it sounds like these are supposed to be eternal commands. And how does that affect me? And, you know, Sukkot talks about the nations. How does that affect me? And what ended up happening was, we didn't have time to deal with counter-missionary issues anymore. We were dealing with specifically, you know, these people that were coming to us with all these questions. And so it wasn't a thing of, like you said, it wasn't where we were out there advertising. People were just finding us. So we're going to have to go to a break here in just a little bit. But when we come back, that's what I want to talk about, because I sort of give you a little bit of understanding of, you know, what happened with me, how I got involved in this. And this goes back several years, which is why I originally got into radio. And then we can talk a little bit more about some of the issues we deal with in people misunderstanding and misinterpreting what we're doing. We're going to have to go to a break, like I said, but when we come back, we're going to be back here with Dr. Rivka Lambert-Adler talking more about Lighting Up the Nations. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on The Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Shalom, I'm Leah Aharoni. Join me on my show, News from the Torah. Each Sunday, we'll use the weekly Torah portion as a prism for understanding the news today. Listen to News from the Torah to gain clarity about the times we're living in and to understand your own spiritual path in the process. News from the Torah, every Sunday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel News Talk Radio, Science of Kabbalah. Talking about Dr. Adler's book, something I was kind of curious about is what led you into this as one thing. And, you know, you're talking about the paradigm shifts of how people's beliefs have, maybe things have shifted and changed altogether. As we experience new things, we tend to have a new perspective on it. So hitting that, but also I definitely don't want to forget by the time we get to our finals part is to really go into a little bit of the highlights of the book itself and some of the contents of that.
So let me take your question about how did I get involved in this? And it really goes back about 20 years. Although I didn't know at the time that that was what was going on, through email and eventually through social media, I started getting these random contacts from non-Jews from all over the world who were looking for a Jew to ask a question of, to connect with, and so forth. And I had no idea why they were contacting me. One sort of funny story is that there was a guy who lived in the U.S. in Texas, Oklahoma, some part of the U.S. that I'm not so familiar with. And he was taking a walk one day and he found what he thought was an artifact from ancient Israel. And he was anxious to reconnect this artifact with ancient Israel. And he was looking for somebody. Anyway, he contacted me. And I always had this question, like, why are these people coming to me? When, you know, there are, I don't know how many people are on Facebook, but I'm clearly not the only Jew and I'm not the only Israeli Jew. Like, why are they coming to me? And I came to understand over time, as time passed, that God was really kind of warming me up for this mission that I was not looking for. I did not know that this was a thing. I didn't understand why I was all of a sudden being contacted by non-Jews with all kinds of random questions until about 2014, 2015, when I started meeting these folks who were coming to Israel. And I was writing at the time for Israel 365, and they would read my stories and they would say, and because they were lovers of Israel and they would visit Israel, they would contact me and say, hey, we're coming to Israel. We want to meet you. And then they would tell me their spiritual journeys. And I really was just a kind of average Orthodox Jew in those years. And I was gobsmacked to hear that there were non-Jews doing these sorts of things, that they were doing biblical feet, what they call biblical feasts, that they were having Shabbat, that they were studying the Torah portion things that I had always thought of were like Jewy things were being done by people who clearly weren't Jewish. And the impact of that was so strong on me. I thought other people are probably going to be interested in this also, because I was a journalist at the time. I was going to write an article about it. And a colleague of mine said, you know, I think there's a whole book here. So I wrote 10 from the Nations, Torah Awakening Among Non-Jews, as a sort of a journalist approach of describing what the heck was going on out there with the non-Jews and with the handful of Jewish people, mostly Torah observant, English speaking immigrants to Israel, who were beginning to see this and to respond to that. So that was 4 years ago. In the interim between then and this new book, Lighting Up the Nations, I continued these relationships, and my world just continued to grow and grow, and I learned more and more about this phenomenon that now I think is part of, I believe with all my heart and soul, that this is part of the unfolding of the redemptive period, that this is messianic, if you will, not in the sense that Christians mean that word, but in the sense of, you know, it's part of the unfolding of the end of days. Because all over the Bible, it talks about this vision that at the end of days, the entire world is going to worship the one true God. And that one true God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that the eternality of God's biblical message as it exists in the Torah is something that the entire world is intended to participate in. And so the new book, Lighting Up the Nations, really is sort of the natural, it took me 4 years to make the connection, but it's sort of the natural next step. So the first step was, hey world, here's this phenomenon that's going on that you might not know anything about, and I'm introducing it to you. And the second is, now as Jewish people, what are we supposed to do about this? Because clearly there's a role for us here, and that's what I try to address in the new book, Lighting Up the Nation.
So you brought up the whole idea of terms like messianic and redemption, and certainly in the Hebrew we say ge'ulah, and there's a whole movement today with the idea of, you know, being conscious of this, or what we call ge'ulah consciousness, and being sort of in the times of the end times and so forth. So the other important thing that I want to bring up in that is the idea that when we talk about those kind of things, I'm always surprised that when we talk about Or LaGoyim being a light to the nations, that people miss the entire verse, where it doesn't just talk about us being a light to the nations, but the end of that verse continues after Hashem says to us that He preserved us and He sort of restored the tribes of Jacob and preserved Israel, and then He says, "I want you to be this light to the nations." And He says, so that my salvation can go to the ends of the earth. So there has to be a component. We have to sort of wake up to the idea that this idea of redemption obviously can't be just about the Jewish people. And I can say that I used to be taught a lot that when it says light to the nations, that it was just talking about the Jewish people. One other point I want to make is that, you know, you said it's very important, this idea of people coming to us and really determining what's right and what's not right, what's kosher and what's not kosher, because there's so much information out there today. I can tell you that, of course, I get a lot of pushback from what I teach. People are it's bad enough. They say that you're teaching Torah, but now you want to teach Kabbalah to people. And I can tell you that the reason why I started this show specifically was for that reason. Because if you were to go on the internet today and type in Kabbalah, the first people that are going to come up are people that I consider not to be kosher. And I thought to myself, people are going to learn this whether we give it to them or not. They're with or without us, they're going to go and they're going to search these things out. So it's important that there are sources like this that people can go to that are giving them the legitimate answers to their questions from the Torah. So I just wanted to make those points in talking about it. So I brought up this idea of pushback. I'm curious to know how you deal with that. I'm sure I actually know the answer to this, but I know you deal with pushback as I do. How do you deal with that?
Well, let me back up and say first that when I first started learning about people like this, I have to say that my honest gut reaction was very similar to the gut reaction of people who are pushing against what I'm trying to do now, which is, I had the reaction at first that the Torah is ours. Like, what are you doing, you non-Jew, getting involved in our Torah? Mm-hmm. It was a very visceral kind of a reaction. And it took me a while to have my own paradigm shift, to understand that I had been sort of in an exile mentality. The exile mentality of the Jewish people is, you know, cloister together and circle your wagons and protect yourself against any external threat. And the truth is, we lived like that pretty much for 2,000 years. Mm. And so on the one hand, I really understand where that pushback is coming from, because people are kind of stuck in that way of thinking. That's part of it. And the other part of it is, even though you and I have the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of knowing so many people coming from Christian backgrounds or Muslim backgrounds or whatever, who are interested in hearing an authentic Torah voice and hearing biblical clarity and so forth, we also know that those people at this stage that we're in right now are a minority, even though there's, who knows, millions of them. But they're still a minority, and there are still people who have another agenda for their relationship with the Jewish people. I'm saying all that to say, I do understand. It's not fun. I don't like it when people miss my point and accuse me of aligning with the enemy and accuse me of cooperating with people who would do my people harm, because I've spent all of my adult life, as you have, working on behalf of the Jewish community, working on behalf of my people. And it's not a fun thing to be misunderstood, to be accused of building those sorts of partnerships that are harmful, when what I'm trying to do is exactly the opposite. So I have to say, my husband encouraged me recently, because, you know, this book just launched last night, as you know, because you were there with us on the virtual launch. And I said, you know, it's really fun right now, because right now I'm hearing lovely things from people say, oh, this is such an important book, or this is such an important topic. But I know that the haters are going to come, and it's just a matter of time. And he said, you know, I really need to come up with a mantra. Sure. And he suggested that I say something like, I'm sorry that you misunderstood my point, because I'm trying to bring light into the world, lighting up the nations, but in my own way, the light of God, the light of Torah, the light of Geula. That's what I'm all about. And for people to misunderstand that is, it's painful, especially when they are people with whom I have had in the past personal relationships. They're not just strangers on the internet necessarily, but really, I'm very, very committed to this work and this mission. And it really feels to me like God is directing my steps in this work. And so, look, all new ideas make some people uncomfortable. I have had to do my own paradigm shifting. And some people are not really interested in working that hard or doing that. They just rather criticize and misunderstand. And that's just sort of the nature of humanity, I think.
Gotcha. We're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be in our last segment, so stick with us for this very interesting discussion here on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, regretfully, this is our last segment, guys. Israel News Talk Radio for the week, Signs of Kabbalah. But we've had a wonderful guest and been having a good time talking with her about her new book. But now we're getting into some of the fun stuff as far as the content of what's in this book with Dr. Adler. So, Rivka, if you don't mind, enlighten us.
Enlighten us. So I want to make sure that it's clear to everybody that I edited this book, but I didn't write it all. As a matter of fact, Yitzhak wrote a chapter himself, and there are a number of other contributors. So the book is basically divided into four main sections. There's an introductory section that, for people for whom this is totally new, kind of lays the groundwork and explains in more detail about what's going on now in this relationship between Jews and the nations, how the classic paradigm of adversarial relationships is changing, and what that means both for Jews and for the nations. Then I go into part one, which is sort of in our day. So there's a chapter on universal Jewish values and teachings that come from the Torah tradition that are relevant for all of humanity. There's a chapter on the idea of Gentiles studying Kabbalah and Hasidut specifically. There are three case studies of Jewish-led Torah study that's going on right now, intended for people from the nations. There's Rav Yitzhak's chapter on the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and the Jews, the idea of the Noahide laws and why Jews need to know more about them. There's a chapter that comes from Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg. It's a very classic, it's a reprint of a very classic lecture that he gave on the fourth revolution in Torah learning that talks about learning, teaching Torah to the nations. There's something that I came across that I wrote a chapter about called, I call it the Oral Torah Dilemma, because anybody who's a Jewish person who's involved in working with people, particularly from a Christian background, they already know that the Jesus issue is going to be a divisive issue or an issue that we see differently. But what was a big surprise to me was the different perspective that we have on the whole Oral Torah. And it's something that Christians understand in a very, very different way than Jews do, and that has to be addressed. So that's all kind of chunked into part one. The part two section looks ahead to the Messianic era and how things are going to change as this continues to evolve. So it opens with a chapter that I wrote. It's a lengthy chapter, probably about 12 pages, that looks at different biblical verses that emphasize this idea that the eventual universal worship of the one true God of Israel is actually a message that appears over and over again throughout the Bible and even in Jewish prayer. There's a chapter here about the implications of the reunification of the Northern Kingdom, what most people think of as the 10 lost tribes, with the rest of Israel, which is what we today call the Jews. There's a chapter on the whole idea of what Jews need to know about the concept of Ger Toshav. There's a chapter on the Third Temple and how it's relevant for all of humanity, not just the Jews. And that's the basic structure of the book. And then shortly before the book was, when I was getting it ready for publication, one of the contributors, somebody who's been working with the nations for a very long time, named Avraham Greenbaum, Rabbi Avraham Greenbaum, released a monograph where he dealt with, in a more technical kind of way than anything that was in the book before, about what does Jewish law have to say about who among the non-Jews is permitted to study Torah, who among the non-Jews is permitted to keep Shabbat. And his monograph was so relevant to the rest of the book, because these are questions, like Rav Yitzhak was talking about, I don't remember if it was on air or off air, about when he was working for Jews for Judaism and how all of a sudden they were inundated with questions from non-Jews about how all this relates to them, that we as a Jewish people, as part of our role of Or LaGoyim, is to interpret Jewish law as it relates to the obligations of the non-Jews. So what are they permitted to do? What kinds of parts of the Torah are they permitted to study? What are we allowed to teach them? What are they allowed to do for Shabbat? What aren't they allowed to do for Shabbat? And so his monograph, which is an addendum in the book, a very lengthy addendum in the book, was so directly related to the rest of the content and the idea. The timing was so so significant that he gave me permission to include it as an addendum to the book. So that's basically the structure. But my whole goal with this book is to reawaken among the Jewish people this awareness of this God-given role of being Or LaGoyim, being a light to the nations, and to inspire us to respond to the people who are coming, seems like out of the woodwork sometimes, who truly desire to know what God's truth is, and to respond to them in ways that are authentic and that are respectful and that are kind, and that's what Lighting Up the Nations is all about.
Yeah, the Fourth Revolution by Rav Ginsburg really had a profound effect on me and continuing in this work, because like we talked about, the pushback was so strong at one point that it became very disheartening. And then, you know, when I first heard the presentation that Rav Ginsburg gave on the Fourth Revolution, it kind of gave me great chizuk, you know, really strengthened me, continue in this way. And just to kind of throw in there a little bit of this idea of what and what is not allowed, you know, one of the questions that I had to answer was, you know, as it relates to science of Kabbalah, when people were asking that question, and you and I were talking, we did talk about this off the air, when you asked me the question, you know, I always bring up that Rav Ashlag, you know, who was called the Bala Sulam, and his work, The Sulam, The Ladder, talked about this, and he broke down the Torah into two ways from a Kabbalistic perspective. He said there's Ta'amei Torah, there's what's called the reasons or the tastes of Torah, and there's Sitrei Torah, there's the secrets of Torah. And he basically said that Ta'amei Torah, these reasons, these underlying interpretations or explanations for why the Torah is saying what it's saying, is what's relevant to everybody. It's relevant to both the Jew and the non-Jew. And significantly, the non-Jew plays a great role in this idea of the Messianic era. And I have always said, and I've gotten great pushback for this, that I said the whole idea of Hashem choosing a people and giving them a Torah, giving them a blueprint for how to live, was so that we could teach the rest of the world how to have this relationship with Hashem. And of course, the Sitrei Torah is something that we're not even really supposed to teach Jewish people that are not learned, that don't have the ability. So many times, Chazal, our sages, talk about the idea that a person shouldn't learn above their ability to absorb information. So it's great. I love this concept. But we also now need to give, in these last few minutes that we have, information on how people can get the book, and if people want to contact you, how they do that. So if you would share with us about that.
Sure. So the book was published by Root Source Press, and you can go directly to Amazon and look up Lighting Up the Nations, or you can look up my name, Rivka Lambert Adler, and you can find it on Amazon. You can also go to Root, Root-source.com, and go into the store, and you'll see a bunch of different options. Right now, the paperback is available. There's a hardcover coming. There's a Kindle edition coming. There's a PDF coming. So we're just at the early stages of this, but the paperback is already available on Amazon, and along with 10 from the Nations, those are both available. And people who would like to be in touch with me, I'm happy to hear from people. The best way to do that is by email. My email address is Rivka, R-I-V like Victor, K-A-H. Don't forget that H, at Kotevet, Kotevet.com, Rivka@Kotevet.com. Always happy to hear from listeners, Jewish or non-Jewish. Always happy to engage with people who are interested in the same kinds of things that I'm interested in. And I have to say, I met with Rev Ginsburg a couple of times privately, and he gave me tremendous strength in encouraging me, and even in saying to me that this work, which I didn't look for, it just kind of, I mean, Hashem directed it to me. I didn't even know this was a thing until I knew this was a thing. That he was very, very encouraging. And I think that more, you know, there's a lot more non-Jews in the world than there are Jews, at least by the way we count things now. And so we need a whole lot more. We are, the Jewish people are God's mouthpiece in the world. And we just need a whole lot more of us who are, you know, grounded in Torah and willing and comfortable to interact with people who are not Jewish, whose world experiences and so forth are very different from ours. It does take a certain amount of self-confidence, a certain amount of courage, a certain amount of willingness to be a little uncomfortable. But that's sort of the stage that we're in. And so, so I really welcome anybody who wants a dialogue with me about that from either side of the aisle.
Yeah, so I want to thank you, and I thank William for being with me, as he is every week, and I really want to encourage our listeners to go there. As Dr. Adler said, you can go to Root Source. It's ROOT-source, SOURCE.com, rootsource.com, and they have a store link. You can go on there, and you'll see I think it's the first book that comes up, Lighting Up the Nations. I want to thank you for including me in it in my small way. And I want to wish you much success with it. And hopefully, now that you've had time to breathe, you can figure out what's going to be the next project that you share with us.
I've got ideas already.
Okay.
Thank you so much for inviting me to talk with you guys today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Stay with us, everybody, each week here on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Shalom.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.